Let's turn in the Word of God this evening to Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord, until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us round, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and disassembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed thing, accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof. And the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes. And the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah. And he took the family of the Zarhites. And he brought the family of the Zarhites man by man. And Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man. And Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done, hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils of a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons and his daughters, and his oxen and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of the place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. So far we read God's Word. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, consider Jericho. Strong, fortified, walled, and armed, but utterly defeated by the armies of Israel. Consider Ai, small and weak, but victorious over the armies of Israel. And consider the fact that all of that took place in a very short span. What explains, people of God, the glorious victory at Jericho and the utter defeat the first time against Ai? The answer to that question is not overconfidence on the part of the Israelites. It was not the case that with an air of confidence after the defeat of Jericho, that without prayer and without trust, the Israelites rushed into battle against Ai, thinking that they only needed a few thousand men to fight that city. And without looking to God, they therefore were defeated. That's not the explanation primarily. The explanation primarily is also not even the sin of Achan itself. Certainly the sin of Achan had a part in the destruction of Israel by Ai the first time. But it is not the principal cause of their defeat. When it comes down to it, it was this. It was the anger of the Lord. The anger of the Lord that manifested itself in a judgment upon Israel. A very clear judgment, a judgment in the fact that they were not victorious, but instead defeated against Ai. In Joshua chapter 7, that is the focus of the passage. The chapter is bookended by a description of the anger of the Lord. Notice that in verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, and the tribe of Judah took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And then you turn to the very last verse, after everything that transpired in the chapter, and we read this. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of the place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. The chapter concerns the anger of the Lord. We mustn't shy away from hearing a word of God concerning His anger. His anger is that which is directed against sin. God hates sin. Hates hardened, impenitent sin that is present in the Church of Jesus Christ. And when it is, as we see very clearly in this passage, the judgment of God falls upon the people who walk hardened in sin and therefore not in a Christ-centered confession based life of looking to God and Christ for all things. We hear a word concerning the anger of the Lord, what kindles His anger. We'll see in the Word of God tonight what is the revelation of His anger and the judgments that He had upon Achan and Israel. And then we will see in the third place this evening what turns away the anger of the Lord. Those are the three points. The anger of the Lord, it should be anger. That's the word in the text. The wrath is a little bit different. God's anger against Achan and Israel. Notice in the first place kindled, in the second place revealed, and then in the third place turned away. Beloved, in order to understand the sin of Achan, we need to go back to chapter 6. Admittedly, at the end of the sermon last time, we did not have enough time to adequately describe the aftermath of the Battle of Jericho. And one of the things that was not described very well was the commands that God gave to the Israelites as a result of the defeat over Jericho. And one of those is found in 17, 18, and 19 of chapter 6. And we need to understand that a little bit if we are going to understand the sin that Achan commits in chapter 7. So let's read together Joshua 6, 17, 18, and 19. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Now, if we're going to understand this correctly, we need to see a very important point concerning that word that is translated accursed in the text. The Holy Spirit very deliberately uses a word that has two meanings at the exact same time. The meaning accursed, as we read it throughout the passage, but also the meaning devoted. Now that comes across in that first verse that we read in chapter 6, because it doesn't make sense as we have it with the word accursed. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Maybe your Bible has a note by that word accursed where it says devoted. That's correct, because that one word in the Hebrew has those two meanings of both accursed and devoted. And both of those are true as it relates to Jericho. What is at the same time to be accursed is also to be devoted to the Lord. And that becomes evident in what God had Israel do as a result of their victory over Jericho. That which is accursed is that which God hates, and that which God punishes, and ultimately that which God destroys. That which is devoted is that which is consecrated to God and the glory of His name. Jericho had both of those, and that's evident in what God had Israel do as a result of their battle, and that's what we see in the next two verses. In verse 18, and ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing. And that accursed thing in Jericho, as we considered last time, was to be utterly destroyed. It was accursed. Jericho and all the inhabitants in it were operating with one goal in mind, and that was to serve the kingdom of Satan and to serve themselves. And they used everything that they had and everything they were to serve that purpose. And therefore, Jericho in that sense and everything in it was to be accursed and therefore destroyed. But then in verse 19, the word is that some will be devoted. Because understand that not everything in and of itself is accursed of God. That's why Paul, for example, in the New Testament could say that in 1 Timothy, all that God created was good. The things themselves were not evil. And that is why they could take some of that and show by taking that and devoting it to the Lord that He would be glorified in and through those things. The gold and the silver and the vessels of brass and iron from Jericho were to be devoted to the Lord. And so both of those ideas are present in Jericho. The world in its dedication to sin is accursed. But there are things in the way that we are called to live in which we take ourselves and that which God has given us and we devote it to the service of the Lord. And so the Word of God was clear to the Israelites. Keep yourselves from that which was accursed and devote the gold, silver, and vessels of brass and iron to the Lord. Now we come to chapter 7, and we see Achan's sin. What I'm going to do is treat this chronologically, what happened first. Not going to be able to touch all of the details of the passage tonight. Next time when we consider chapter 8, we're going to come back and talk a little bit about the defeat of Jericho, or the defeat by Ai the first time, and develop some more of the truths that are set forth in these passages. But what I'd like to do is focus chronologically on what took place. And therefore, the first thing that took place in all of this was the sin of Achan. Achan was a soldier in the army of Israel. He was one who, therefore, went into the city of Jericho itself. He heard the word of God through Joshua, that word that I just explained from chapter 6, and willingly walked in an opposite way to that word. He took the accursed thing, and he kept from God that which was to be devoted to him. The sin of Achan was fundamentally the sin of covetousness. And we notice that from what he himself says at the end of the chapter. Verse 21, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. Achan, when he went into the city of Jericho, had a heart of covetousness. Covetousness is that heart sin that God speaks of in the 10th commandment. When we considered the 10 commandments in the catechism, we took note of that in quite a lengthy way. That's what sets the 10th commandment apart from all of the other commandments. Really, all of the commandments find their root in our heart, and they all come down to covetousness, desiring what God has been pleased not to give to us. Achan had a covetous heart. And not only was it in his heart, but he acted upon that covetousness that was in his heart. He saw that Babylonish garment and he took it for himself. He saw that gold and silver and he hid it. And he knew very clearly that what he was doing was wrong. Why else would he have hid it? He brought it to his tent so that no one else could see it, because he knew that this was contrary to the Word of God. Two very important points regarding the sin of Achan, that covetousness that revealed itself in taking these things from Jericho. Number one, he took for himself the accursed thing. That in the first place. And that's what's repeated throughout the passage. The Babylonish garment was a garment, probably beautiful in and of itself, intricately woven, beautifully patterned, but it was a garment that represented Jericho. It was a garment that belonged to the world of Jericho and everything that Jericho was about, which was not consecration to God and the service of God's name, but instead consecration to sin and the service of self. So in the first place, what Achan did was loved the world. In his heart, that is where he was at, and that is what he desired. And in his covetousness, he took that which belonged to the ungodly world that falls under the curse and judgment of God. In the second place, we can notice with respect to Achan's sin, not only did he take the accursed thing, but he kept from God and took from himself, for himself, that which belonged to God. That's the gold and the silver. In the verses that we read from chapter 6, God made it clear that all of the gold and all of the silver were to be devoted to the Lord. They were to go to the treasury of the house of God, found in the tabernacle and labor in the temple. So that gold and the silver and the vessels of brass and iron had as a specific purpose the worship and the glorifying of God's name. That which belonged to God, Achan kept for himself. He wanted it. His heart desired it, and therefore he took it. Beloved, are our hearts the covetous heart of Achan? To one degree or another, they are. We all know that. In our heart, there is this covetousness. We ask those questions tonight, and we face the sin of Achan, and we look at ourselves in order that by examining ourselves in this regard, God would be pleased to root this out of our hearts. But is covetousness that which drives our hearts? And particularly, as Achan revealed that covetousness, in the first place, a desire for the things of this world, the accursed things that belong to this world. That fundamentally, beloved, was his sin. He loved the world and everything that it had to offer, so that in the service of self, he took those things. Is that our hearts? That we love this world and the sin of this world. And it's not necessarily even taking things for ourselves that are explicitly sinful. It can be that sometimes. We love, for example, the entertainment of this world, and that's what we live for, and we soak in for ourselves all of the pleasures of this world that in and of themselves are sinful. It can be that, but it can also be this, where we simply accumulate for ourselves the things of this world because this is where our heart is. This is what drives us, so that we live with the singular desire to enjoy the pleasures and the treasures of this world. And because that is where our heart is, it's taking for ourselves the accursed thing, the things that in the end ultimately will be destroyed by God. It's the father or the man who works not for the good and godly purpose of providing for his wife and family and the schools and churches, but works for the singular desire to get rich and puts in all of that time, not with an eye on using what God has given him for the beautiful purposes of devotion to God and his kingdom, but in order to accumulate more and more and more stuff, because this is where his heart is at. Or it's the mother or the woman who is all about outward appearances, whose heart in the end is very far away from the Lord, but is serving self and altogether concerned. Yeah, he had a garment in the text, clothes. That's not necessarily the direct application today, but we can take note of that, where that's what drives us in our life, what we look like, how we present ourselves, not concerned about God and our life before Him. But we are driven in a heart of covetousness, about those types of the things of this earth. And one of the ways in which our covetous hearts manifest themselves is in the second part of Achan's sin, where he took for himself that which was supposed to be given to and devoted to the Lord. That was the gold and the silver. Per God's word in chapter 6, was supposed to be dedicated to the Lord. And life in the church, for those who have this covetous heart, shows itself particularly in that way, does it not? Where we love this world so much that it shows itself in keeping for ourselves that which should be given to the Lord. Now that's not always cut and dry. It's not give 10% like it was in the Old Testament, or take the gold that you see and give it to the Lord in the treasury of the Lord's house like it was in this instance. It takes wisdom to provide for family, to be good stewards for the future, to be able to make sure that our daily bread is provided for. But where is our heart in that respect? Are we keeping for ourselves and therefore not giving to the Lord because we love this world, because we want to be able to take the more extravagant vacation, because we want to be able to live in a home of this level, because we want to be able to go out to eat 4 times a week, because we love this, and this is where our heart is at, instead of devotion to the Lord? We examine ourselves tonight in light of the sin of Achan. But the particular nature of Achan's sin was such that he was hardened in it, and he was impenitent. We'll get back to that later in the sermon, but that needs to be the difference. Where when we hear this word as we apply it to us specifically right now in light of this sin, the difference is that we are immediately led to see it and confess it and to turn from it. The anger of the Lord was kindled on account of that sin. God hates sin. And His anger is revealed against sin. It's revealed in His wrath. That which is accursed falls under the wrath and punishment of God. And it's revealed in judgments that He exercises upon those who walk in those sins. And that's what we see in the second point of the sermon, that His anger having been kindled is revealed very clearly. The question that we face is this: upon whom was the anger of the Lord revealed? And the answer to that question is clear in the passage. It was not just upon Achan, but the anger of the Lord was revealed also upon the children of Israel as a whole. And that becomes very clear in both chapter 6 and chapter 7. And that's one of the main truths that is set forth in this history in the Old Testament. And we need to take careful note of that tonight. Notice this in these two chapters. Let's start by looking at what we read in verse 18 of chapter 6. This was the original command to the Israelites: "And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it." So there immediately you see that the Lord has in mind not just individuals, but He has in mind the camp as a whole. If this is done, the camp as a whole will be accursed. And this is even more clear in chapter 7. And notice that in verse 1 to begin with, there is an interplay between the singular "he" of Achan and the plural "they" of the children of Israel. "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. And this is why the children of Israel did it. Achan, as an individual, took of the accursed thing. And the fruit of that was that the anger of the Lord was kindled against not just Achan, but was against the children of Israel. And that same thing is set forth in the remainder of the chapter. And you can read it several times, especially in verses 10 and following. The truth laid out in this history is that of corporate responsibility. And the truth of corporate responsibility is that at times God, on account of a sin of an individual, imputes the guilt of that sin to the entire body of which that individual is a part. Corporate body responsibility. That's what took place here. Achan as an individual sinned. Nobody even knew about that sin except him and likely his family. But the guilt of that sin was imputed upon the entire congregation so that the anger of the Lord was revealed not just against Achan, but it was revealed against the entire camp as well. This is a truth that we must believe. This is a gospel truth, as we'll see at the end of the sermon. It's on the basis of this truth that we have salvation, that the work of one man is imputed to the entire body of which he is a part. But there's a part of us that doesn't like to hear that this is true. And especially in an individualistic society in which we live, you hear that all the time. How can this be fair? How can it be fair that one man's sin, Achan sins, and the effect of that sin is upon the entire congregation of Israel? Is that really, in the end, fair? And the answer is that it is. And this is a truth that began already at the very beginning with the sin of Adam. Adam, standing as the representative of the entire body of human race, sinned. And the guilt and the effect of that sin was felt upon the entire human race. There are times, not necessarily with every individual sin, but there are times when the sins of individuals, when they are not rooted out of the church or rooted out of a family, the guilt of which is imputed upon the entire body, and therefore the anger and the judgments of God fall upon not just the individual, but they fall upon the entire body of which he or she was a part. That's clear in the history. The anger of the Lord was revealed against the nation as a whole, and that was evident in the first defeat of Ai. They spied out the city. They saw that it was a small city, 12,000 people. And so they said, we only need 2,000 or 3,000 soldiers to take it. And so they went to take the city of Ai, but they were utterly defeated. They were forced to flee. And the fruit of that was 36 men died. But this more serious fruit of that was what that meant. Victory in Canaan meant life with God, fellowship with God. Defeat in Canaan meant just the opposite. As long as the accursed thing was in the camp of Israel, God would not and could not dwell in good fellowship with His people. So it had an effect upon the entire nation, and then also in the second place, there was an effect of his sin upon Achan and his family itself. Joshua speaks to the Lord, and I'm not going to go into all of these details, speaks to the Lord, and the Lord reveals to him the reason why his anger was kindled. The wrath of God was upon the accursed thing which was present in the camp, and that leads Joshua to do what they did the next day, take all of the children, all of the tribes, Judah, and then eventually down to the family of Achan and Achan himself, so that he was led to have that sin opened before him. And the fruit of that And the judgment of God and the wrath of God upon the accursed thing was revealed. They brought those things before all of the nation, the gold and the silver and the garment. And then they proceeded to stone Achan and his family and burn him and set up a memorial in that very place. We need to learn tonight from the truth of corporate responsibility that our sins, at times, have an effect not just upon us as individuals, but upon the body of which we are a part. Sin is inherently selfish, isn't it, beloved? Achan knew that this was the truth of the matter. He knew the Word of God. That he who takes the accursed thing troubles not just himself, but troubles the entire camp. But he was entirely selfish. He didn't care. And he walked in that sin, disregarding the body, but took for himself sinfully what he desired. As we think about our sin, our walking in sin, this we need to remember, that the sin that we walk in impenitently has an effect upon the body of which we are a part. And take note of that as being the nature of his sin. The nature of his sin was that he was impenitent, hardened in it. We mustn't think that every sin that we commit, because we are committing sins all the time, result in this, a judgment upon the body of which we are a part. It was the particular nature of this sin. He was hardened. And it was an impenitent sin that was a cancer, so to speak, in Israel. So that when it was in Israel, it had an effect upon the entire body of Israel as long as it was not rooted out and repented from. It's that type of sin, especially, that has an effect upon not just an individual, but the body of which he is a part. That's true for the church. If a man, for example, in office, a pastor, hardened in sin, hardened in a desire for the glory of his own name, introduces new ungodly practices or false doctrines that in the end exalt him, if that is not rooted out, and turn from, the judgment for that sin falls not only upon the man himself, but upon the body of which he is a part. This is especially true in families, fathers, mothers. You leave the church, or you walk down the wrong path as it relates to church membership. And the effect of your sin is not just upon you, but it's upon the body of which you are a head, namely your family. Achan had on his hands the blood of 36 men that died on account of his sin of taking the accursed thing. God forbid that on account of our selfish sins, in turning away from God, we have on our hands the blood of children and grandchildren who experience the judgment of God because of the sins of a head. Yes, there is grace. Yes, there is forgiveness. Yes, God plucks out of that in His mercy individuals. But that's the warning from the Word of God tonight, especially for fathers and mothers as leaders of the home. But it's not just that. We need to think about this also in terms of our lives right now, in the home and in the church, especially in the home. The nature of this accursed thing was that it was there and it had a power. It festered. It wasn't rooted out. It had an effect upon the body. So that God organically looked at the body and saw the body of Israel as accursed at that time. Beloved, if that's our lives where we're bringing into our homes, for example, the accursed things of this world, we're showing by our lives that we love this world. That's what we're driven by. Understand always that the effect of that and the judgment of God upon that is not just for us, but also for our children as well. Truth of corporate responsibility is real. It needs to be real in our minds as we think about the sins that we are guilty of, especially if we are tonight walking hardened and impenitent in sin, and how that sin has an effect upon the bodies of which we are a part. There's a calling here for particularly the elders in the church. A calling for the elders of the church is to root out the accursed thing. That's effectively what God did. He exercised discipline in rooting out Achan and his family and the accursed thing that they brought into the camp of Israel. But the word of God is to the office bearers and to future office bearers that this must be the highest priority of your work as you think about the body of the church, that if we do not root out the accursed thing from our midst, this is the fruit of it, which is the wrath and the judgment of God upon the body as a whole. This comes to expression in the guarding of the Lord's table. There's a very striking phrase in question and answer 52 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Question and answer 52. Rather, 82. Question and answer 82 of the Catechism on the Lord's Supper. Are they also to be admitted to this supper who by their confession and life declare themselves unbelieving and ungodly? And the answer is no, for by this the covenant of God would be profaned and His wrath kindled against the whole congregation. That's the work of the office bearers in particular, to see to it that the Lord's table is guarded so that unbelievers are not partaking. And the fruit of that, as the Catechism says, is similar to the fruit of what was true for Israel, that the wrath of God was kindled upon the body as a whole. And the point more broadly is that of discipline, rooting out of the church the accursed thing. But in the end, the wrath of God and the anger of the Lord was turned away. That's what we see at the end of the passage in Joshua chapter 7. In verse 26, "And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day." The Valley of Achor, literally the Valley of Trouble. Another memorial was set up at the place where Achan was stoned and burned as the one who loved the accursed thing and therefore experienced the wrath and judgment of God. Another memorial in order to teach the people. Some memorials are of a positive nature. Think the memorials at the Jordan River. Look at those memorials and see the amazing grace and power of God to save us. Look at the memorial in the Valley of Achor and see the judgment and the wrath and the anger of God against sin. It's the Valley of Achor, the Valley of Trouble. One other place, two actually, but one that I want to read, is that Valley of Trouble mentioned, Hosea chapter 2, verse 15. "And I will give her vineyards from thence in the Valley of Achor for a door of hope." Valley of Achor, the Valley of Trouble, can be, for some, is turned into the Valley of Hope. And the only way in which that is true is in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. What turns away the wrath and the anger of God from us? Us who have covetous hearts, us who are by nature no different than Achan. What leads us from having the same end that Achan had, which was being burned in the Valley of Trouble? What changes, therefore, the Valley of Trouble for us into the Valley of Hope, as Hosea 2:15 says? The only answer to that question is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, whom Galatians 3 teaches us, became a curse for us, took the curse that is upon us, and took it upon Himself, and descended into the depths of the valley of trouble on our behalf, so that we do not see it as a valley of trouble, but we see it and go through it as the valley of hope. Beloved, what turns away from us the wrath and the anger of God? It's going to Jesus Christ. It's as a congregation believing the gospel of Jesus Christ and therefore living that gospel of Jesus Christ and living as a congregation the gospel of Jesus Christ by preaching truth that exalts Christ and living in holiness and in daily sorrow for sin, so that daily, as a congregation and as believers, we are rooting out of us the accursed thing. That was the difference in Israel. It was there, impenitently, festering, spreading, having an effect upon the entire body. And so what is our calling? The calling is to see not the valley of trouble, but to see it the valley of hope, and to see Jesus Christ, and to daily root out of our hearts the accursed thing, the sin that is in us, by going to Jesus Christ and finding forgiveness. And as a church of Jesus Christ, constantly rooting it out in the way of discipline and personally in our lives. And in that way, we experience daily the turning away of the anger of God against our sin, and knowing that in the end, the wrath of God is not upon us, not punishment for sin. Judgments at times, yes, to teach us, to lead us back. That's what this was for many of the Israelites. Through that defeat, they were led back to God as a body. Yes, God works that way. But daily in doing this, we realize that all of the wrath of God against the sin that is in our hearts has been meted out upon Jesus Christ. And therefore, we do not go through as a believer, we do not go through organically as a church the valley of trouble, but we go through the valley of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us learn tonight from this history of Achan. Let us learn about the seriousness of sin and the anger of God upon sin. Next time we'll consider more carefully that God blesses us in the way of disobedience, and that blessing is not found upon us in the way of disobedience. Learn tonight. Learn about the truth of corporate responsibility. Think about your sin, not just about yourself, but about the body of which we are a part. And see tonight that the only way in the end that the anger of the Lord is turned from us and the wrath of God is turned from us is that it is placed for us upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word again this evening. We pray that Thou wilt teach us from Thy word tonight, so that we are led to see our sin, we are led to turn from it daily all the more, and find forgiveness, therefore, in the blood of our Savior. If there are any, O God, who are walking impenitently in sin, hiding in their hearts, in their lives, the accursed things, turn them so that they confess and are led back to Thee and find forgiveness and hope in Jesus Christ. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.